Tonight, the title of the sermon is 10 Tribes Never Lost. 10 Tribes Never Lost. When I was a little boy growing up, I was raised in church circles. Now, we had different churches that some of our people belonged to. I was part of a Baptist church. But I had, on my dad's side, I had my grandparents, my pop and grandma. They, along with all three of my dad's sisters, they were all Church of God. We called them Holy Rollers. That was a term that I really wasn't sure a whole lot about, except that I knew that the women always had buns on the top of their head. None of them ever wore pants. And sometimes they'd get a little excited and start rolling around in front of the church. And that never appealed to me as a kid. But I always thought it was funny. But I remember in some of those conversations, there was a term that would come up, and it didn't register with me at the time. But it was the term, the 10 Lost Tribes of Israel. That is a term that you probably have heard. If you have not heard that term, you've certainly heard the teaching. The last time that I have, as far as I know, that I can remember that I've preached on this or written on this was in 2021. But in the past 3 or 4 months, I'm noticing that it's beginning to rear its head again, this topic. And it's called British Israelism. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about these 10 tribes tonight. And we've heard that phrase. And let me just tell you, in December of 84, the Israeli government, they had a secret operation that was going on. And what they were doing is they were flying Somalis out of Sudan in some of the refugee camps that was in Sudan. And they were flying them back into Israel because the Ethiopians that were in those camps claimed that they were from the lost tribes of Israel from the time of Queen of Sheba. Now, I don't know why, but it seems like that sometimes the Lord just puts this story and that story together. I came in the other day, and my wife had been watching something. She had been reading in her devotions, and all of a sudden she decided that she was going to YouTube it. And the next thing you know, we've got 47 things on there about the Queen of Sheba. And so she goes, "What do you know about the Queen of Sheba?" I said, "She came to see Solomon." And she's the one that said the half has not been told. Of all of the things that I've heard, it's twice as big as anything that I've ever heard. And so the claim was by these Ethiopians that they were of her lineage and that she had become a proselyte Jew, and now they were wanting to be a part of the nation of Israel, and Israel flew those planes in, brought them out, and let them settle in the land of Israel. That's happened in 1984. There's also a tribe in Afghanistan, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, but it's called the Pashta, P-A-S-H-T-A tribe. Now, these are Islamic people. But they claim a connection with those lost tribes, so much so that when they have a son, they circumcise him on the eighth day. They have clothing that is like four-cornered, which means that it's, you know, like sharp turns on their clothing. The men have little side things. I think they're called like frontlets. You read about that when it talks about the frontlets. Jewish men, you see that in Israel, walking the streets predominantly of Jerusalem and around the Wailing Wall. When we go in September, we will see that. That's where you see the guys and they're doing this stuff. That's what they're doing. Well, they have little things that come down, and then they have beards. And so this Afghani tribe, the Pashti, they are people that claim that kind of connection. The one that you would probably be most familiar with is a guy named Herbert W. Armstrong. Now, Herbert W. Armstrong, he liked to think of himself as being mainline Christianity. He was anything but. He was a cult leader. And there are people that hold to much of what he has taught. And it's sad, but a lot of people in our country are beginning to hold on to it in a greater way. Now, there was a lady that I used to have great confidence in that was a commentator, influencer. But to be honest with you, I think that she's turned into a raving lunatic. Her name's Candace Owens. I began to notice this about a year and a half ago whenever I would listen to her comments and I would read things that she had written. And all of a sudden, it was like there was a light switch that flipped. And now everything that seems to come out of that lady's mouth is that the problem is that there's a Jewish cabal. And she was like, I'm a Christian. And I'm thinking, some of the things that you say don't jive with biblical Christianity. Maybe she's operating from a place of ignorance. But I just know that Herbert W. Armstrong, he talked about how that the 12 tribes, or not 12, 12 tribes, but the 10 lost tribes of Israel had actually migrated to Europe. And ultimately it got to the point to where Ephraim was the people that were in England and Manasseh were the people that were in America. And so that's where I want to kind of go tonight, because I don't want you to get sucked into this. Because sometimes when there's somebody that's on a nice national platform and they are really convincing and they're articulate, they're able to make you begin to say, well, that sounds pretty good. That sounds all right. And so tonight I want us to just kind of deal with that for a little bit. Now, you will notice that none of these people that subscribe to the lost tribes and where they think they landed or if they're still around, I'll get to some of that in a moment. There are two books that are in your Bible that they don't really hang out with much. And that's 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We're going to be there some tonight. And so what is meant by the lost tribes? Well, we'll do a little history lesson with you. And I use a lot of these dates a lot of different times. And the reason is because if you can ever get these things in your mind, it helps you have your picture come into focus. Now, sometime around 930 BC, Solomon dies. David lived about 1000 BC. Then after he died, Solomon took over. And about 930 BC, Solomon dies. And what happens is the unified kingdom splits. You've heard me talk about the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was under a man named Jeroboam. The southern kingdom was under a man named Rehoboam. Ultimately, you had 10 tribes that were in the north, two tribes. The largest of the tribes is Judah, and one of the smallest tribes, Benjamin, they were in the south. And so you've got the 10 up north and the two down south. Now, what happened is they both were involved in idolatry, but the north, the one that Jeroboam was in charge of, he began to lead those people away from coming to worship in Jerusalem. And so he set up a place for them to worship in what is called Mount Gerizim. You can worship in Samaria. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to do it. Why is he saying that? Because he didn't want their allegiance to be in the south. He wanted the allegiance to be in the north. And so you have idolatry, and it became very rampant under Jeroboam in the north. Well, you have prophets that would come along, and they would begin to preach. And those prophets would say, judgment's coming. And so what happened is, in 722 B.C., not quite 200 years after Solomon died, that idolatry finally, I guess, came up in the nostrils of God, and he said, okay, Assyria, go get them. And so they went into the north, and they conquered the north. Now, one mistake that I think that many of God's people make is this, that when a nation is conquered, that everybody's gone. That's not the case. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But I just want you to remember that not everybody that was in the north was taken back to Assyria. You had some people that began to migrate to the south. Why? Because they love God, and the people in the south loved the Lord more than the people in the north did. Now, ultimately, the south is going to fall as well. We'll get to that here in a second. And so I want you to look with me at 2 Kings chapter 17, and I want us to read verse 22 and 23. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, and they departed not from them. So all of that idolatry that Jeroboam had set up, the people that were in the north, they followed him. He was the leader, the Pied Piper, and they followed him. Until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their land to Assyria unto this day. The unto this day means until the time that 2 Kings 17 is being penned. So we have 2 Kings 17, and it's talking about how that Israel was carried away. Now remember, Israel is the name for the north. Judah is the name for the south. Second thing, Babylon now comes in. In 605, 597, and 586, three different times, you have Babylon that comes in and they conquer the land again. In 605, that's where they took Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were the Babylonian names that were given to those boys. I preached on that a couple of weeks ago, I think. And so you have Babylon that has now come in and has taken over the south. The 10 tribes in the north, they're gone. Tribes in the south, now they are conquered. But in 536 B.C., so years later, decades later, the people get to return to Judah. I want you to remember that. Now, there has never been a formal thing that you find in the Bible. You can read about Judah returning. You read about that in the book of Ezra. We're going to read some of that here in a minute. You read about that in Ezra. You know about it from Nehemiah. You know about it from some of the prophecies of Jeremiah. And so they returned in 536 B.C. But the north never has a passage of scripture that says they returned, and so therefore they're called the lost tribes. Now, there are theories about these lost tribes. You've got one that there was a Rabbi Akiba that lived in the 300s A.D., and he said these lost tribes were gone. They were absorbed into the Assyrian population. They will never return again. That was a very respected rabbi. That was his position. Another one is that, and this was more fable than what you could I guess, document historically. This one was that the tribes continued to exist on the other side of some river that nobody knows where it's at. It's some mysterious type river, and it's called the Sambaton. If you're looking for a spelling on that, it's S-A-M-B-A-Y-T-O-N, Sambaton. They said that the waters were so swift in this river that no one could cross. My question is, if it was so swift, how did they get across in the first place? That's my question. And so that is the second thing. Now, there were people that would make this claim. In the Middle Ages, you would have different people that would come along and they would claim to be the Messiah. They did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. And so in the Middle Ages, they would come along. One of them was a man, we would call it David. In Israel, they would call him David. But David Rubini. There's a guy that is a commentator that's on YouTube. He is a homosexual, but he's a conservative. Not that that makes homosexuality right, but he's conservative, and his name is David Rubin. I've seen some of his stuff, and he is a conservative. He used to be a raging liberal, and then he saw the light. And so you've got this David Rubini, who claimed to be a Messiah. He claimed that his followers were the lost tribes. You also have people, like I mentioned, from Afghanistan, but they aren't the only ones. You have people from Japan that claim to be part of the lost tribes. You've got people from the American Indians that have claimed that. One man said that every ethnic group around the globe claims some connection with these lost tribes. And Herbert W. used to say, you know that those are the lost tribes because one of those tribes was Dan. And what is in Europe? You have the Danube River. Don't you see the connection? I'm like, yeah, I do. Does that mean that just because they're close in spelling that it's the same? No, not necessarily. What about the nation of Denmark? Don't you see how that Denmark would be close to the tribe of Dan? Well, that is spelled different. You've got spellings of these various things. There's a city in Europe called Danzig, D-A-N-Z-I-G. And so they make all of these leaps because of the spelling, but there's not a linguist that, according to one source, there's not a reputable linguist that truly puts these groups together. And so one other thing, how many of you have ever heard the term Saxon? Like Anglo-Saxon, all right? Saxon, you know where that comes from according to these lunatics? Isaac's sons. You know Abraham's boy Isaac? Isaac's sons. So I guess that's Esau and Jacob, all right? And so you've got these people that make these outrageous arguments. Now, the reason that I think that Candace has gone nuts, the other day she said that Charlie Kirk is a time traveler. In other words, he has basically jumped time to find me, talking about herself, and that's why the Jews had him killed. That's lunacy. It's all about the Jews, and anti-Semitism is raising its head. Do you know what is being attacked in the hundreds now in our country? Synagogues. You know what is not being attacked? Islamic houses of worship. You know why? Because Satan doesn't hate them, but he hates the Jewish people. He's always hated the Jewish people. Now, do I think that the Jewish people are saved? I do not. Do I think they will be saved? Absolutely. They're going to turn to Christ in a day, and there are a handful of them here and there. They're called Messianic Jews. And there are people that believe that Jesus is the Christ, but it's only a small percentage. But God has not revoked Abraham's covenant. He has not revoked Isaac's covenant, nor Jacob's covenant. All three of those patriarchs had it reiterated that the land would belong to Israel. Now, there's another group that likes this replacement stuff. It's the white supremacist. I have no quarter for somebody that says that the whites are the supreme race. Don't tell me you're a Christian and hold to that kind of stuff. You and I, we have brothers in Christ from all races. When you read through the Bible, you find people everywhere from everywhere. And so, white supremacists, they have this teaching, and everything comes down. It's the Jews that are all the problems, and it's they are in charge of the banks. They're in charge of the media. Big Hollywood is run by the Jews, and it's Jews this, Jews that. And they want to claim that those lost tribes are gone, but now the ones that are left, the people of Judah, now they're the troublemakers. And so I want to give you five things that the Bible teaches us tonight about this. We go to the Bible. We don't listen to someone, no matter how articulate they are, how persuasive they can be. What does the Bible say? Don't ever get away from that. What does the Bible say? That is our foundation. So, let me just give you five proofs that the tribes were not lost. They're still around. Now, I don't think that many of the Jews know who they belong to, but God does. Now, I want to give you five things tonight. When the kingdom split in 930 BC, there were people in the north that were under Jeroboam, and they left the north and they came south. Why? Because in Judah, in the south, and by the way, when I say Judah, that includes Benjamin, which was a small tribe, so they are identified together. All right? So I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles, this book that they do not like to go to. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 14 and verse 16. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem. In other words, they were not willing, they were not content to stay in the north and worship on Mount Gerizim. They wanted to come south because you had the people of Judah that were still worshiping the way that God had told Israel to worship. Why are they doing this? For Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest office unto the Lord. So these Levites, they are not able to perform their priestly and temple duties because Jeroboam said, no more of that stuff. We're going to worship up here in the north. We're not going to have you have your allegiance to the south. And these guys left their possessions and said, yes, we are. Verse 16. And after them out of, what's that next word? All the tribes of Israel. How many is that? It's 12. Does not say out of the tribes of Judah. It says out of the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. And so, you don't find any of these people that are lost except in the minds of people that want to practice replacement theology. You don't find these people that are lost. These people that loved God from those 10 northern tribes, they came south and they were absorbed into the geographical land that we know of as Judah, but they never lost their identity of the tribe that they were a part of. And so we have 2 Chronicles that's saying that. I want you to go to chapter 15, verse 9. I think it's still 2 Chronicles. Chapter 15 and verse 9. Yeah, this is it. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, the south, and the strangers with them. And where are they from? Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. This is King Asa, and he is gathering them. So you don't just have the south that are coming under Asa. You have others that are coming out of the north that are coming under Asa. So Judah absorbed them into their landmass, but they still had their tribal identity. That's the first thing. Number two, the second biblical reason why they're not lost. The assumption is that every single person that was conquered in the north was taken to Assyria. I teased you with that just a moment ago. Now, Hezekiah gave an invitation. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles 30. We're not going to go there. But in 2 Chronicles 30, Hezekiah tells those people in the north, you can come be with us. And so, in 622 B.C., now what happened in 722 B.C.? 100 years before, the Assyrians conquered the north. Now, 100 years later, in 622, you know, remember now in the BCs, you're counting down, not counting up. So 722 is 100 years on the other side of 622. And so what do we have? We've got godly Israelites, and they come to help repair the temple that has been destroyed. So I want you to look at 2 Chronicles 34, verse 9. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all of Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. So you've got Manasseh, you've got Ephraim, you've got the Levites, you've got all the remnant of Israel, you've got Judah, you've got Benjamin, and all of them together go to Jerusalem, because that's the place they're told to go and worship. So, if everybody that was conquered was taken, how do you have these people that were able to come 100 years later and help with that temple? It's not logical. Now, there is an Assyrian king named Sargon. He is found in archaeology. There are several archaeological digs that authenticate the Assyrian king Sargon. They found some of his, I guess they would be called annals, and they began to read these annals of Sargon, and he kept records about what he did when he conquered people. Sargon made this statement in his annals that they carried away 27,290 people and 50 chariots. So when they came from the country of Assyria, they conquered the north, and a little over 27,000 people were taken into captivity to be slaves, to be servants. They would work in palaces, they would work in fields, they would work in building projects. They would be enslaved. But how many people lived in Israel at the time of this conquering? The best estimates are somewhere between 400,000 and 500,000. Well, that means that only 1/20 of the population of that northern kingdom was taken into captivity. You didn't take 500,000 people into captivity. You know who you took? You took the leaders. You took the best. You took the brightest. That's why when the Babylonians came in, they took guys like Daniel and his friends, because they were the best of the best. The next time they came in, you know who they took? They took a young man named Ezra. He became a scribe. We have a book that's named after him. You have all of these people, and they were taken, but the whole country did not cease to exist. Now, they did not have their own government any longer. They were under the authority and the heel of the Assyrians. But according to Sargon's own annals, only a little over 27,000 were taken. So that means that 470,000 are still left. And so we see that the assumption is that every person was taken, and that was not the case at all. Number three, when the Jews returned from Babylon, whenever they were captive in 605, 597, 586, after that was over, they were able to go back to the land in 536 after the Persians let them go, a man named Cyrus. There was a restored community of all of Israel. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. 1 Chronicles 9, verse 2 and 3. Now the first inhabitants that dwelt in their possessions in their cities were the Israelites, the priests, Levites, the Nethinims, and in Jerusalem dwelt of the children of Judah, and of the children of Benjamin, and of the children of Ephraim and Manasseh. So you've got these tribes that we know of to be the northern tribes here in 1 Chronicles chapter 9. When the Babylonian captivity was over, these people from those tribes, they came with Judah all together. Now, if Herbert W. is right, there ought to be something in here where it says that Ephraim landed in England and Manasseh landed in America. They ought to give some type of geographical direction about where they landed, but yet here they're landing in Jerusalem. Now, in September, when we go to Israel, we will have a layover somewhere. I have had a layover in Paris. That was the worst. I've had a layover in Frankfurt. That was tolerable. The Germans are serious about their security. I've been to Munich. And then one time I was able to fly straight from New Jersey into Tel Aviv. That was best. But as I'm going on that airplane in September, and we stop somewhere, I don't know where yet, that's not my destination. My destination is Tel Aviv, because that's where the airport's at. And ultimately, one of the wonderful things that we will have is we will have several days in Jerusalem itself. That's where all of these people wanted to get to. That was where the Lord had told them to go and worship me. And so the Jews, they returned. All of them were from the north and the south. They returned. I want you to look at Ezra chapter 6 and verse 17. Ezra 6:17. And offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats. And what was the reason for the 12 he-goats? According to the number of the tribes of Israel. Were there only two left? No. Every tribe had a he-goat that was sacrificed. And so, in Ezra's time, Ezra the scribe, when they're making all of that sacrificial offering to the Lord, of all the ones, the 100 bullocks and the hundreds of rams and lambs, the he-goats was specifically 12 for each of those tribes. None of them were lost. Now, the book of Ezra, and I'm just going to give you this as a statement, and then we're going to move on to number four. The book of Ezra uses the term Jews 8 times. It uses the term Israel 50. So when you think of Israel, I want you to think of all Israel in the context of Ezra. Now, when you're talking about that divided kingdom, like Rehoboam, Jeroboam, and all of the kings that followed them, you had 10 in the north that was called Israel, and then south was called Judah. But in certain situations, such as Ezra, he's talking about the whole nation. He's not talking about just those tribes up north. Number four, what about the New Testament? Does that give us any light on whether the tribes of the lost tribes of Israel are vanished in the wind? Go with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. There is a lady that's there, and her name is Anna. I love this lady. I love at Christmas time whenever we talk about the different people that were around the baby Jesus. Anna is a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. That's the 10 tribe, or one of the 10 that's up north. If it was lost, how would Anna know the tribe she was from? She didn't. She knew which tribe she was part of. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 7. Unto which promise are 12 tribes? It's not two, because 10 are lost. It's all 12 that are mentioned there. Instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. So this is when Paul is there before Agrippa, and he is talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. Go to the book of James, chapter 1. James 1, verse 1. Now, James is the brother of the Lord Jesus. He got saved after the resurrection. So he doesn't call himself the brother of the Lord Jesus. He calls himself a servant or a bondslave. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could put in parentheses, my older brother. But he doesn't do that. And then he is saying to the, how many tribes? There's 12 of them. There's not two. It's 10 plus 2. It's 12, which are scattered abroad greeting. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 22, verse 3. I want you to see how Paul describes himself. I am verily or truly a man which am a Jew. Does any doubt that he considers himself to be Jewish? No. Well, what else does it say? Go to Romans chapter 11, verse 1. So here he calls himself a Jew. But in Romans chapter 11, verse number 1, he says, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite. So he doesn't just describe himself as a Jew. And some people want to say that, well, a Jew is for the tribe of Judah and the Hebrews are for everybody else. He calls himself each one. He conflates the two. He is a Jew. He is an Israelite. And so when you read the New Testament, you will find this. The word Jew is used 174 times. The word Israel is used 75 times, and it's always applied to the same group of people. It's the nation. It's not the South, it's not the North, it's the whole deal. And so Paul refers to himself as both. One final verse in the New Testament, Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and of the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh of Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever? Amen. He's talking about how that Israel was a special group. Were they special because they were the biggest? Nope. Were they special because they were the most wealthy? Nope. As a matter of fact, God chose Israel because they were the least of all peoples. And he said, I'm going to take the least of all peoples and I'm going to do something special with them. And you have people over the millennia that have been blessed of God because God was willing to take them. Where do you think our Bible came from? It came from mainly Jewish people. The only book in the Bible or books of the Bible that I can think of that are not written by a Jew, Luke and Acts. I think all the other ones are Jewish. I could be wrong, but I think those are the only two. Some people even think that Luke was a Jew. I think he was Roman because of the name. It was a Roman name. But our Bible came from Jews. Our Savior came from Jews. The foundation of Christianity was Judaism. Now, we don't have that old wine anymore. We have the new wine, according to Luke chapter 5, verse 39, which I touched on in Sunday school this morning. But you and I, we look at that and we go, you got to be careful when you start talking about the Jews this and the Jews that. You get yourself into a pickle biblically. Do I think that they're perfect? No, but we're not always perfect in our country either. Let me give you one final thing. End time prophecy tells us of a continuation of all the tribes in the tribulation period and also in the millennium. One proof verse and we'll be done. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. If these tribes were lost, this could not be written in Revelation. This is an end time prophecy. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of how many tribes? All the tribes of the children of Israel. There are no 10 lost tribes. The reason that people want to say that they're 10 lost tribes so that they can claim that they are one of those, and they want to claim that because they want to practice what is called replacement theology. They want to be able to take the promises and the covenants that God has made with that nation and that group of people and want to apply it to the church. They want to apply it in their liberation theologies. Sometimes it's Latin, sometimes it's feminist, many times it is Asian, sometimes it's black. You've got all these different groups, various groups, and they practice a replacement theology, and it's termed a liberation theology. Herbert W. Armstrong was a cult leader. I don't care how many times he opens up a Bible. I don't care how many times they call themselves the Worldwide Church of God. If you're not biblical, you're not biblical. And they don't hang out in Chronicles a whole lot. There are no lost tribes. God knows where every one of them is at. Now, when we go to Israel, there'll probably not be anybody that would be able to say, well, I'm of the tribe of Reuben. But one day, God will give them their identity. God will let them know which tribe they are part of. And to be honest with you, there could be one tribe, could be one, that may know who they belong to, and those are the Levites. Because right now in Israel, there are preparations being made for that tribulation temple. Now, they're not calling it that. They're just calling it the temple. And there are people that are now, the Temple Institute is the one that I know of. And they have already got the high priest garments made. They've already got the linen ephods made. They've already got all of the furniture that will be in that temple made. The only thing that they're waiting for is they're waiting for the temple construction to begin. And you and I, when we hear people say, 10 lost tribes, you ought to be having bells go off in your head going, they're not lost. And don't let anybody tell you that that's past, that doesn't have a future. Revelation 7 tells us it does have a future.